what we're saying is, in order for a woman to exercise her constitutional right, she has to submit to being vaginally probed by an ultrasound device. Now, there are cases where that's just the only way to get that ultrasound image. So what this amendment proposes to do is not completely upend this legislation. This is not a gotcha amendment. This is a very sincere amendment. I work with legislative services to try and get the language in here right. Like I said, I know this is going to become law. What I'm trying to do with this amendment is simply say that before a woman in the Commonwealth would be subject to such an invasive procedure, she would have to provide her written consent. And if she declines to provide her written consent, then she will still come under the heartbeat provisions of this legislation. So in other words, she'll still have to be offered the chance to hear the baby's heartbeat, etc. If that won't change with this amendment. But with this amendment, you would have to allow her to consent before being physically violated in that way. And one thing I'll note about the underlying bill. The underlying bill makes no provisions for a surgical abortion versus a pharmaceutical or medical abortion, such as RU486. We can debate this further, but I mean, as I read the language of the bill, there's absolutely no distinguishment in there between a surgical abortion or a pharmaceutical abortion. That means a woman goes in wanting a non-invasive procedure, a non-invasive pharmaceutical abortion. She wants to get RE486, the abortion pill, and she's in there asking for that particular procedure because she doesn't want an invasive procedure on her body. But without this amendment, we're going to say, sorry, in order to exercise your constitutional right, we have to let a doctor put a probe inside you. And we have a lot of discussion on this floor about government intrusion. I think that is the worst form of government intrusion. So all I'm simply asking for with this amendment is that we require written consent. That's really what this is about. And I hope you'll support the amendment. And I'll be completely upfront with you. In my mind, this amendment does not repair all the deficiencies with this bill. And I still couldn't vote for the bill, even with this amendment. However, the bill is going to become law. And I think if it's going to become law, we ought to at least protect the women of the Commonwealth from this kind of invasive penetration against their consent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Bedford, Ms. Byron, speaking to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking to the amendment. I hope you will oppose this amendment. While I appreciate the gentleman's concern, let's really get down to the basic facts here of what we're talking about. If you have a consent to a procedure that is going to give information to the informed consent law, you're basically undoing the informed consent law. So you are totally undoing and unraveling the informed consent law as it is. And I will also say to the gentleman that this language is constitutional and has held up in courts. If we want to talk about invasive and about abortions, I know it's uncomfortable, and I have just as many, emotional stories as anyone else in this room may have about someone making that decision, because it is an emotional decision, whether it is a wanted or an unwanted pregnancy. It is a living human being, and it's a tough decision, and you want to make sure that the person that is having that child or not having that child understands, so that later they don't have to live with that decision by not having all that information available to them. Let's go back a little bit and get this into perspective, talking about abortions. You know, the debate years ago about abortions, the advocates assured judges, legislators, and the American public that legalizing abortion would be beneficial to the health and the well-being of the American women. And by doing so, to support their arguments, they said that were going to ensure that we had medical safety.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
General may state it.
Mr. Speaker, is the gentlewoman speaking to the underlying bill or to the amendment before the House?
I am absolutely speaking to it.
To what?
To the amendment.
Absolutely.
And the invasive procedure. So in talking about public safety of, or the health safety of the woman, and talking about the invasive procedure, if we want to talk about invasiveness, there's nothing more invasive than the procedure that she is about to have. And there are, you talked about the medication procedure. Let's talk about that one first. When you go in for RU486, Planned Parenthood shows on their site that you have an ultrasound before you take the pill, so that you're ensured that when you do that, that you have, you don't have an ectopic pregnancy or something else that
Mr.
is
Speaker,
going on or not a
Mr.
live.
Speaker, will the gentleman yield for a question?
No, I won't.
The lady declines to yield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And then you also have to come back later after that child has been aborted and have another ultrasound, a vaginal ultrasound. So they do it twice if you're taking medication. And then let's talk about the other two abortions. There's a vacuum abortion. There's two vacuum abortions. There's a manual and a machine vacuum. The manual vacuum is performed at 5 to 12 weeks. Now, one of the reasons that you want to have the gestational age determined is because you want to ensure of which abortion procedure that they're going to do. So by doing the manual vacuum.
Is the gentlewoman talking about the amendment?
Yes, I am. The amendment had to do with transvaginal ultrasounds and the invasive procedure.
I'm not sure. I think you have strayed a good bit, but if you could kind of just kind of bring it to a close, that would probably be helpful.
Okay. The invasiveness that I'm referring to, that I have a letter from VCU, from the professor, the associate professor of the OBGYN, that states that this is the transvaginal ultrasound is no more invasive than a routine speculum exam or a bimanual examination. I would say to the gentleman that what the woman is undergoing is much more invasive, and that there is a reason that we need to have the gestational age, and I hope you would not support this amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman of Shenandoah, Mr. Gilbert.
Mr. Speaker, rise for a motion.
The gentleman may state.
Mr. Speaker, I move to pass by the amendments in a block.
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
The gentleman may state it.
Mr. Speaker, is this a motion where each side gets 2 minutes to discuss the motion?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman of Shenandoah.
Mr. Speaker, I yield to the gentleman from Lynchburg.
The gentleman from Lynchburg, Mr. Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking to the measure. The
gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I want to try to put a little bit of calming influence here and let everybody take a bit of deep breath. And I understand, I'm not naive, I understand the social consciousness behind this. But there is something inherently basic about this entire process, and that is trust. It is trust in the physician-patient relationship. And that gets at the heart of every interaction that every healthcare professional encounters when they are trying to provide good health care. Now, the different types of tools that we use are my judgment. They are part, as a physician, as a medical practitioner, they are part of standard medical practice in my community. And that might differ in the city of Lynchburg than Southwest Virginia or perhaps in Fairfax. Mr. Speaker, mention has been made of my friend, the delegate from Richmond City, and the concept of dates and the date of your last menstrual period. Sometimes, Mr. Speaker, women have irregular menstrual periods, and that becomes very difficult for us to date. Sometimes it's very difficult by bimanual exam to date the pregnancy. I'll give you the specific example. My second day as an intern, I was called down to the emergency room to see a lady with abdominal pain, 16-year-old, very obese young lady, who, while she was screaming and writhing in bed, was delivering and did not know she was pregnant. So, Mr. Speaker, it seems quite prudent to grant to the medical profession those tools that they deem to be, they believe to be in standard medical practice, and it seems right and just that we should pass this measure. I would suggest that humbly that we vote against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Actually, we're voting for the measure to pass it by.
My humble...
Gentleman from Alexandria, Mr. England.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll vote against the motion to pass by this amendment. The gentlewoman just gave an explanation about how Planned Parenthood uses these invasive transvaginal ultrasounds, and that's a terrific example of the point. Planned Parenthood requires your written consent before you perform these procedures. All we're simply stating, I'm not trying to interfere with the doctor-patient relationship, certainly any more than the underlying bill interferes with the doctor-patient relationship. But what we're simply trying to do is say that before a woman in this Commonwealth is vaginally penetrated against her consent, she has to consent to that. I mean, how difficult a moral concept is that, to say before you perform an invasive procedure on our wives and our daughters, you have to get that woman who you're going to use a probe inside to sign a piece of paper saying, yes, I consent to having this done to my body. I hope that you'll vote against the motion to pass by. I hope you'll vote for the amendment, because I know this bill is going to become law, and this is simply about protecting women in this Commonwealth. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question is on adoption of the motion by the gentleman from Shenandoah, Mr. Gilbert. There are sufficient up. Shall the motion to pass by the amendment be agreed to? Clerk will close the roll.
Ayes 64, noes 34.
Ayes 64, noes 34. The motion is agreed to.